Have I seen The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes.
No. No idea.
It's very good. You should see it.
Probably. There's probably heaps of things out there, David, that are good that I should see with my eyes. But I think not, David. I think I'm not going to see those things. I mean, I say that, and I literally saw something that was good the other day.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Logan?
Yeah, I saw Logan.
Oh, my God. How good is Logan?
He says, have you seen Logan? You literally called me out on our own Twitter account.
There are lots of things I tell you to do that you don't do, John.
Yeah?
All right? Name, there are lots of things.
Name one of them.
Look less pretty? I don't know, actually, off the top of my head. That's
when
hard
have
to think
you
of.
Ever told me to look less pretty?
That's a good point. I would never say that.
Yeah, I could not believe that.
But, no, straight up, how fucking good was Logan?
I really enjoyed Logan.
Yeah, like, I saw the trailer, and I'm like, don't get excited. You were excited for Suicide Squad, and it was a huge disappointment. You gave fucking Batman v Superman the benefit of the doubt. It was a monstrosity. And so I'm just sitting here like, don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
Sorry.
Just don't get excited, don't get excited.
You gave Batman vs. Superman the benefit of the doubt?
Yes, I did. Because I didn't think Man of Steel was that bad.
Okay.
It was pretty bad, but I didn't think it was that bad.
This is why I always call you the saint to everybody. Just the forgiveness that you can give is unparalleled.
But it's like, and that's the thing, like, they'd beaten it out of me. Suicide Squad was the last one where it's just like, no, I'm not getting excited for Wonder Woman, I'm not getting excited for Wolverine, I'm not getting excited for any of this stuff. I don't care how many fucking sick as shit fucking Johnny Cash covers of Nine Inch Nails songs they put in their fucking trailers, I'm not gonna get excited for Logan. And then I went and saw it with a friend from work whose name is Aang and who's rad, and it was just so fucking good. It was just so good.
It was pretty good.
And I walked out of the cinema so, like, pumped by, like, how good it was and how well it ended. Just, and then I was just sitting there thinking, it's like, this is what they all should have been. This is what every, not this exact movie, but, like, movies of this caliber, right, that weren't Marvel films, that's what they should have been giving us. They've had X-Men since, like, 2000. They've had it for, like, 20 years. I was 10 when that came out. I was 10 years old. I was watching Pokemon on Cheese TV the first one came out. And other than, like, First Class, it's all just been fucking dog shit. And then they make this, and we're sitting here, it's like, this is amazing, but they should have all been this good. What are you doing, Fox?
Now, if we had to sacrifice every other X-Men movie to make this one,
yes,
I'm fine.
Well, I mean, they basically did, right? Rest are all fucking garbage. They're all, like, toilet movies.
Yeah. Well, it's, okay, so I am kind of in love, especially right now, with efficient movies.
Yes.
And movies that don't waste your time in any way, that it's just good stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Logan is 100% good stuff end to end. There's not a single scene that's wasted to either build character or
everything in it is fucking amazing. Hugh Jackman is kicking ass as Hugh Jackman, because Hugh Jackman's always been a fucking darling.
Yes. And right? He's always, every scene is always doing multiple things.
Yeah.
To advance the plot, advance the characters, do this. The film, I think I watched the Movie Bob review of
I haven't seen Logan. Any fucking reviews. Everything I'm spinning is off the dome.
Yeah.
So Logan is amazing. I love it. Yeah. It has flaws. Every film has flaws. But it nails the fucking tone. It uses an appropriate level of fucking gore and violence. It's just everything about it feels visceral and tense scene to scene. They, like, appropriately communicate the stakes. You don't know how anything's going to fucking end. And it all comes together and leads to a point. And yeah, there's one or two little tropes in it. Yes, it's definitely 100% taking cues from The Last of Us. No doubt.
There are
scenes that are clearly, I think, deliberate references to The Last of Us.
Hmm.
But it fucking nails it. And it's got so much shit on different levels, right? Like, like the way that it depicts time. Like, it's set in 2029, right? And the world looks so much like what our world looks like, but for the little differences that are like the trucks that'll drive themselves
cells,
and shit like
that. The dashboards in the cars, the proliferation of robotic limbs.
Yeah.
Like, there's a dude with a gun arm.
Yeah.
And it's so understated, and I love that.
Yeah, it's still so gritty, and it's got a real kind of, like, rough Western feel, and there's just this real sense of wear on everyone. And, like, Patrick Stewart is fucking killing it. Like, I've just seen Westworld recently for the first time, right?
Oh, yeah. You've seen
and
the
Anthony
whole thing,
Hopkins. Or? Yeah, I've seen the whole thing, right? Anthony Hopkins in that fucking slaughters it, right? He is better than every other actor in it, but he's still cruising. He's still only at like 10%.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and still, like, he blows everyone else out of the water, but he's still only at 10%. Whereas in this, Patrick Stewart is just delivering. He is just fucking delivering. He's so there and so invested.
There's moments when you remember that Patrick Stewart is an acclaimed Shakespearean actor.
Yes.
Who, delights on stage and screen no matter where he is.
And it's, again, it's like you look at the tools they had, the fucking building blocks they had all the way back from X1. Like, I get it, X1, that was before the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, so it's a different era, there was a different expectation.
It was one of the first superhero movies.
Yeah, it was before Lord of the Rings came out, so it was before CGI was good. Like, this was the fucking, you know, it was technically 2000, right? But, like, I that sounds like a joke, but if you look at the quality of CGI post Lord of the Rings, like how seriously Hollywood takes it, totally changes. And so it's a cheesy movie, and X1 was like good enough, and X2 was, hey, that's actually all right. And after that, they're all just fucking dog shit. But they've got Hugh Jackman, and I've got Patrick Stewart, and I've got the X-Men source material, and I got Ian McKellen in half of these as well. Like, everybody loves to talk about the bromances between some, you know, fucking muscle boys or whatever. Now, you want it, like, the broest of the bromances is Patrick Stewart and Ian fucking McKellen. Both, they have so much chemistry.
Both in the movies and in real life.
Yes, they have this, like, the best performance of Waiting for Godot you'll ever see is Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen together. Almost impossible to find, but it's fucking amazing, right? And then we come to this one, and we only have half that combo, and they still destroy it. I'm just sitting here thinking the whole time, imagine if Magneto was in this.
Oh my god,
could you imagine if, like, I guess there wouldn't be that much for him to do. It would water the story down again. Like, this is a really good movie, and I wouldn't want to ruin it with that. But imagine if they were bringing this caliber to all the ones where they had fucking Magneto in it.
I don't know who directed this one, but, like, I'm going to look it up now.
Because they deserve props. The writing team and the credit, and the credit as a director.
Cinematography was like amazing.
The director of photography, whoever, like, the soundtrack, all of it was just fucking great.
Okay, so, like, we're talking super hyped, but, like, when you think about the film, you have to bring it down.
Yeah.
Because this is the problem with really good filmmaking. I think it's like, you don't notice too much of it.
Yeah.
And unless you're looking for, like how seamless it is.
Yeah, and so, like, I also have kind of a rule not to declare something the best of within, like, 3 days of seeing it. But this is such a good fucking superhero movie. This is better than so many of the others. It's better than any other fucking X-Men.
This guy made The Wolverine.
The same dude?
Yeah, the same dude. He wasn't... he wrote this one, though.
Oh,
he didn't
write
The Wolverine.
But which one was The Wolverine? Was that the one in Japan?
Yes?
That one was okay. Wolverine Origins was just...
Yes, yeah. No, the Wolverine
Origins was like a 14-year-old Redditor who thinks they know how to write better than a woman.
And it was,
like,
honestly disgusting. It was disgusting what they did with Ryan Reynolds in that movie.
Yeah.
It was the saddest thing in the world.
But this is the other thing. This is, like, you know, every dark cloud has a silver lining. Ryan Reynolds, don't hold me to this, because I think I might be making some of this up, but generally when people get a part in movies like this, they get a multi-movie contract.
Yeah.
And so his fucking shitty, horrible Deadpool in that is the reason he was able to play Deadpool in Deadpool.
That and his tireless work to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
He really wanted to make that movie.
You know, that's all in super inside baseball, but, like, this is Deadpool levels of good, but with a completely different flavor.
So this director, this is an interesting dude. So the other films he's directed, right? So you got Logan, which is the latest one, The Wolverine, as I mentioned, Night and Day.
I don't know
which
that
was,
one.
Night and Day was a...
Was that the spy movie?
It was the dude who's a Scientologist.
Tom Cruise.
It was Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz.
The dude who's a Scientologist.
You know what that means. That's not a disparaging remark, lawyers of Scientology.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Calm down.
He is the most famous one of you.
Yeah, you know that. He's an ad. It was an action movie called Night and Day that was like a romantic comedy.
Yeah, kind of. That was a long time ago.
It was all right. I remember watching
that. I haven't seen it. I thought it looked like Dog Shit.
He did 3:10 to Yuma. Walk the Line and like a couple.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he's done a couple of.
He did Girl Interrupted, which feels like a movie I should know.
But Girl Interrupted, that's like acclaimed, right?
Oh yeah, he's been nominated for in total, as far as I can tell, 9 Oscars. He's won 2, mm-hmm. 1 for Walk the Line and 1 for Girl Interrupted. So
yeah,
yeah.
And this is the other thing about the Wolverine, the Japanese Wolverine.
Yeah.
That one wasn't that terrible. It could have been worse. And they did a lot of fun stuff, again, with cinematography. Like, there's a lot of shots in that where something is happening in the background that's a little bit like, funny that that belies the tone of the primary scene and stuff like that. So there's a lot of quirky little things that they do, which I thought was quite fun.
Okay, I'm having fun right now because I'm exploring all of the filmmakers for these movies. So I'm looking at the Wolverine, right? Yeah. And I'm looking at who made the screenplay. And the guy who wrote the screenplay for the Wolverine also directed the Total Recall remake and Unstoppable and Race to Witch Mountain and Deception.
Which one's Deception?
Actually, that's a good point. I thought I was saying Inception. Deception's a B-grade horror movie with Hugh Jackman.
I was going to say.
So, that guy, he doesn't have the best pedigree at writing original scripts.
I just, like, I know that I'm harping on about this, but I just can't get over the fact that Hugh Jackman was, like, 30 years old when X-Men came out, and now he's, like, 48. And the whole time, he's been making, at best, mediocre X-Men movies. And then finally, you just let this guy off the chain. Because, like, you think about, like, Suicide Squad, right?
I try not to as regularly as possible.
You see Jared Leto in Suicide Squad, and he's trying his hardest and being terrible.
But
right?
can we just stop for a second? I thought that was a really bad performance. Like,
yeah, it's a terrible performance.
I want to just, like...
Yeah.
Who thought that was good?
Like, who thought that was worth him harassing the rest of the cast over?
I'm just honestly,
it's
like...
It's so bad, right?
Feels really self-indulgent.
Yeah,
but
it's also
shocked.
Just like, it's so... This bird is baked. It's just like, there's so many parts of it that there's just nothing happening. There's no charisma and no energy. And, like, you have... that, and you have a terrible performance in a terrible movie, and you can tell it is a terrible performance, but then you look at, like, Will Smith doing Deadshot, and Margot Robbie Harley
Margot
Quinn,
yep.
And you're just like, it's so sad that they're here, and they're trying, and they're doing really good, but everything around them is just a train wreck.
Okay, I'm gonna say Will Smith pulls a Will Smith, and is Will Smith in this movie with Will Smith. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they don't do much with his character, and that's why you see how Will Smith he is. But Margot Robbie, I thought she did a really great job, mm-hmm. but they did nothing with her character.
Yeah.
That was interesting or good.
Like, there's so many flaws with the thing, but what I'm trying to say is that, like, you can still tell that the actor is trying, and that if the other stuff was working around it, it would still work out. And I feel like that's basically been Hugh Jackman for the last 15 years, right? Like, I know that I'm very, very biased when it comes to him, because he is... an Australian who I'm very proud of, who's never thrown a phone at anyone.
Yes, and that's very important.
Yes.
And
he's just a charming guy, and apparently a friend at work is friends with a guy who's dating his niece. Which is nice.
I wish you could all see the face that David pulled. He's looking at me like I'm supposed to care about any of that.
That's pretty good, right? Pretty good.
I don't care
but
how
I mean,
close you are to fame.
6 degrees of separation, pretty good.
Yeah, but like...
It's pretty good.
There was a YouTuber who did a video about 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
And I knew someone who worked on one of his documentaries who knew someone who knew him. But like, that's the whole point of 6 degrees. We're all connected to everybody. The world's very small. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Point is, Hugh Jackman is great. I quite like him, and it's very nice to see him have another good movie. Like, Les Mis, he got a lot of positive praise for that, but also, again, he's doing amazing in a movie that's okay.
It's
very light, and there's not a lot happening, and it's got Eddie Redmayne in it, and I just kind of want to punch that guy all the time.
There's not a lot of room to move around in Les Mis.
Yeah, but like, and so he's like, obviously Jean Valjean is the central character, if there is one to Les Mis, and I feel like he brings more depth to it, and the screenwriters were trying to get more depth to that character. But again, it's one of those things, like, he does great. He has a full emotional range, which is rare for male actors who are renowned for superhero films.
Because he's a musical. Like, he's
always
done musical.
And he also is just the best sing and dance man. He just does it the best. And he hosted the Oscars because he's just such a good showman.
Yes.
He just does the acting and the singing and the dancing. He's what they call the triple threat. And I love him. And I want him to be in more movies. And I hope that Logan lets him be in more movies so I can see his face on the big silver screen.
I just think that Logan was a wonderfully beautiful film. Great action, not a wasted moment.
Yeah.
And it does really well.
Yeah, this is something that Aang said as well. Like, they have the early action scene. I won't say what happens in case anybody wants to see it, because you will have all noticed we're staying away from spoilers. There's an early action scene, and in a shittier Wolverine R-rated movie, they would have had a lot more excuses for action to get as much gore, but they choose it so well. And then they have the another action scene later, and it's still just like, oh.
To harp on what I was going to say, I think one of the themes of the film is disappointment.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to watch a film where the theme is disappointment, but it's still engaging,
yes,
and interesting,
yes,
and enthralling, and just drawn right,
like,
in.
There's just so many levels to it. Like, we're not going into any of the spoiler stuff, but like, there's so much I want to say about what you just said.
Yeah,
but there's like, so much I want to say.
I feel like, to me, like, talking about how good something is before someone sees it colors their opinion and then raises expectations, and I feel that that can be detrimental to viewing a film. And so I already feel bad about talking about it too
much.
Yeah,
that's true. That is
true. Irrelevant, right? The things they do and the techniques they use, from just the filmmaking experience alone, it's just beautiful. Yeah. It makes me want to create things.
And obviously, this is very subjective. There are going to be people who hate Wolverine.
And that's fine, because we all like different things. Like, that's totally valid.
And so, as a way of tempering it, I'm excited because I've wanted, like, so much of it is about weight and momentum. Like, I've wanted Hugh Jackman to be a good Wolverine for a long time. And I feel like this is the perfect expression of what I was always looking for. But that's, of course, from me, from what I wanted from a Wolverine film.
Yeah, we all wanted the Wolverine film called Logan.
Yeah, yeah, we all wanted that.
Yeah.
That's a very concise way to put it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of easy things they could have done that they don't do. And there's a lot of things that shouldn't work, but just work. Like,
the things about disappointment, they play out really well.
I don't want to spoil it, but some stuff they do around some of the antagonists of it, and for people who've seen it, they might know what I'm alluding to here, but there's just stuff that just should not work with the level that they take it to. But it just worked. Like, somehow they make that fucking work.
Look, we've almost gone for 20 minutes, right? Let's just cut this. This is going to be completely cut out of any other. This is going to be a standalone thing.
Yeah, there's no way we can fit this in a full episode.
Do you want to just flag right here and we can talk about something very interesting?
Yeah, okay, cool. Spoil it, yeah.
I'm watching you squirm and I just want to let you say some of the things, because it does some really interesting things. So if you want to watch Wolverine, go watch it now.
Logan.
Thank you. Good Lord. Screwed it up.
And fuck this. Let's just spoiler cast. Let's point on spoiler cast.
Let's have like 5-10 minutes. We'll talk about
some
of the spoilers.
There are three antagonists in this movie.
Yes.
There is the dude with a hand, who's your typical antagonist. You've seen him in all the trailers.
Basically.
He's a heavy. He goes around. He wants to punch and shoot people, right?
He is a movie antagonist B with vague Nazi appearance and robot arm.
He is the dude who likes guns, right? That's basically a good way to summarize that character.
And he's a sadist.
Yeah. So you've got him. You're expecting that perfectly. You've got two other antagonists. You've got Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Evil.
Yes, I am the bad science doctor who did the bad science.
Who's deliberately boring.
Yeah, and like over the top.
Yes, he's just. But like,
you see him, and you see him wear this weird, almost like Dr. Evil sort of trench coat thing.
Yeah.
And he's got weird sunglasses and the weirdest hair, and you're just like, are you a caricature?
Yeah, and it's like, that makes it sound like it's got more pizzazz than it does. He's such a dull, flat, rote character, but it's so obviously deliberate.
Yeah, and
like,
it's all summed up by how it ends with
and we'll talk about the end of his arc very briefly. The third antagonist, though, is X-24.
Yeah.
And I had no idea X-24 was going to be in this.
And this is like a great example of understanding that you're going to release a trailer.
Yeah.
And being aware of what you put there and then what you put in the movie. You watch the trailer, you see the standard sadist military protagonist.
Yeah.
You don't see the other two.
Yeah.
As far as I know. And you definitely don't see X-24.
Yeah.
Who is
just a complete reveal, right? So I am not super familiar with the comics, so I know who X-23 is. I had no idea that X-24 was just basically like a full clone of Wolverine, right? Maybe he has some robot parts, I don't know.
No idea.
But like, so you have old, haggard, falling apart Logan, right? And then you have young, vital, aggressive clone Wolverine.
Yep.
And again, you hear that and you're just like, oh my God, really has to fight a fucking clone of himself? Oh no, the only threat to Wolverine is another Wolverine. But there's just so much they do with that. It's just like all of these things about like the passing of the torch and like a world that's outgrown a person, about how people don't really change. And all of these character moments are informed by this clone of Logan, and they play with these ideas that, like, in so many of the comics, Wolverine is just, like, the male id. He's this 90s, fuck you, dad, I'm gonna slash some shit up with my claws, right?
Smoke cigars!
I don't need love, I fuck women and smoke cigars and punch stuff, grr. And, like, they contrast Hugh Jackman's Logan in this film with, like, this caricature of what 90s fuckwits want Logan to be. And, like, it's just... It's so complex, and they have these moments where you're like, they meet the farming family, right? Yep. And it's the most, like, drippingly over the top.
Saccharine.
Yeah, these salt of the earth folks.
Like, I love the pick. I love the casting. It's just so wonderful the way they did it.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, what I'm trying to say is the family, they're all African American as well. And it's just such an interesting choice to have that diversity.
Yeah.
Has diversity throughout it as well.
Yeah. And they also have, like...
diversity casting.
Because there are allusions to racism in that thing as well, because, like, that farm family is dealing with, like, getting...
kicked out by ranches.
Yeah, getting by, like, a conglomerate, basically. Yes. And all of the people who work for the conglomerate are white. And it's one of these subtle things about, again, how class is racially informed, and that plays with some of the mutant themes in it. And it's like, they're pointing to the themes that the X-Men have been playing around with for a while.
Yeah.
Much more directly, you know, and much more maturely, I feel, you know. It's not just like, get it, because it's like being gay. Kind of.
Like Bobby Drake. Yeah, woo! He came out to his parents about being a mutant. And, like, the gays.
Yeah, and it's like, again, I understand that, like, there have been themes about anti-Semitism and about racism and about homophobia and all of that kind of stuff that the X-Men have explored. I totally get that. And I'm sure that in the comics, there are some really great examples of how that's explored in a really mature and intelligent way. The movies never really quite landed.
No.
You know, they never really did.
They can barely land a plot sometimes. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be too mean to them. Like, they're struggling at the first hurdle.
Like, they're aiming for a different target.
Then subtext.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
And so this one, it's mind-blowing what they do. And some of it's a little bit on the nose, like the stuff with the Western film, which the title eludes me at the moment.
That's because it's a non-typical Western film to draw on.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And they've got the white hat in that, but it's still all about... What's the line? Killing is a brand, you know, good or bad, it stays with you. And just like a man has to be what he is. And just like, it's all very on the nose, but like... They play with that so well. Like, you have this scene with the farmer and the idyllic family, and you go into that house, and Logan's like, we've got to keep moving. And Patrick Stewart's like, no, Logan, let's sit and stay. Let's enjoy that just for one night.
Good
show
Lord.
X-23 a good night.
I'm such an old man, please.
And then everything that Logan expects happens, and it's just the worst thing, and it's so upsetting.
I love that in talking about disappointment.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart kind of reveals how important this moment has been to him.
Yeah.
He talks about, like, don't wake the girl. Like, this is such an important moment. Like, we're all just relaxing in a house. We get to have this experience. It's like, and then he, like, remembers some of the horrible things he did.
Yeah.
Where he, like, killed a whole bunch of people. It's kind of implied. You never really find out what happens.
Yeah, maybe it's in one of the other movies or something.
No, I think this is, like, in-between stuff. Yeah. Right? You never see it.
Because I certainly have no idea what he's doing.
I think a lot of the stuff that they talk about is stuff we'll never see. And that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
The movie always constantly brings up stuff that you never see.
Yeah, and, it's so good like that.
And that moment... Right, when Patrick Stewart's Dr. X reveals this wonderful, important moment about understanding that he doesn't feel he deserves this wonderful moment, he gets fucking murdered by X-24.
He
just
gets clean stabbed right through the fucking chest.
And Wolverine never hears that reveal.
Yeah.
He just gets to experience his death.
And this is, before this point, you have no idea that he's talking to X-24. You think he's talking to Wolverine.
That's wonderful.
And that's the point where they reveal that X-24 is in the movie at all. And I'm just sitting there just like completely ripped out of this moment. Like, it's just, and that thing you say about how they allude to stuff happening outside the frame, that's so perfect. Like, you're completely right. There's so much, like...
How many flashbacks were in this movie?
None.
Zero,
there are no,
right?
Flashbacks. Yeah.
There's never a moment...
There's a thing with the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's a narrative story device. That's just lazy storytelling.
One flashback.
Yeah.
There's one tropish flashback.
And like, it's not the best, but it's handled neatly, succinctly, quickly.
And it's also, like, like you say, that's core plot of the movie stuff. It's not the world-building stuff. It's not the stuff outside that. You know, you don't have flashbacks of Wolverine going, no, Storm, please don't die at this time that you died in the past, which is why I'm getting haunted in all of my dreams because of this flashback. You know, there's nothing like that. You just get the impression, like, just the way they communicate that everyone else is just fucking dead.
Yeah.
Right.
And it doesn't sound like they all died like noble heroes,
yeah,
either.
Yeah, they all, like, died in obscurity. And then you've got fucking Patrick Stewart, who's got dementia, right?
That was really interesting for me because my grandparents are getting dementia now.
Yeah.
And I watched this movie with my mum. And her parents are the ones with dementia.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there with her and I'm watching this film and I'm having this... It gets when you know someone who's going through dementia,
yeah,
and you watch how Patrick Stewart plays that out and you sort of see the heartbreak in the scenes as he's not all himself.
Yeah.
But he's like always... And he says it. He's like, he's always aware of what's kind of going on, but he never can respond to it,
yeah,
properly.
Yeah, I think the line he says is, I always know who you are, it's just sometimes I don't recognize you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And it's just the saddest thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you experience that.
Like, the inconsistency of it as well, where there are some scenes where he's just so sharp and so present, and other scenes where he's just completely elsewhere. It's like an amazing performance, like an incredible fucking performance.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Mm. And that scene where they go to help the family get their horses,
yeah,
on the road, and I almost cried constantly throughout this movie. And what I think is one of the most tropiest, like, it's just this thing that they do, which is kind of on the face of it a bit sort of lame, but I loved it, is at the end when... We've already talked about spoilers,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Lord, you better have watched this. So at the end, when Wolverine's dead,
yes,
and the kids bury him in the ground, and they have the cross,
yeah,
and they all go to leave, and she stops, and she goes to the cross, and I'm like, oh, she's going to take the cross down, because, like, Wolverine's like a badass. He doesn't
believe
in it.
No, I knew exactly what was going to happen there.
I was not seeing it coming, and she turns it to the side, and she puts the X, the cross into the X. I cried. I cried right in the cinema, right there. I was just like, yep, this is the end. This is the end of X-Men for me. This is,
yeah,
like,
this is
narrative.
It's finished.
That's beautiful. It's such a beautiful moment. The,
yeah,
idea of just...
I will never see another one.
I was like, I don't want it. Honestly, if you're just like, now, I'm fine. I'm done.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can do something else now. Maybe if Marvel gets it, they can completely... They have to burn it to the ground,
yeah,
and reboot it.
If we see another X-Men... Oh, God, why can't I remember the name of the actor who played X-23?
Oh, the girl?
Yeah, she's been in other stuff.
Because she's you should remember her name because she's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
I almost never go, hey, that child actor is really good. Since Macaulay Culkin, right? And even then, he was in camp movies, you know? I almost never watch a movie with a child actor and go...
Yeah, I mean, Stranger Things was pretty good.
Stranger Things exists in an 80s black hole for me,
yeah,
where I can't appreciate it because I don't like all the tropes.
Daphne Keane.
There you go.
Daphne Keane does an amazing job.
Yeah.
She's very, very good.
Whole cast does a great job.
Yeah.
And I think all the actors understand who the characters
fucking
are.
Fucking Stephen Merchant is in this fucking movie.
Stephen Merchant?
Stephen Merchant. He's Wheatley.
Oh.
And he's the agent from The Office.
Yeah, he's the weird albino.
Not from The Office. From Extras. You know Extras with...
I know of Extras.
You've never seen Extras?
No.
Yeah, that's a pretty good series. You should see that. It's a little bit cringy.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'll get right on that, David.
Yeah.
Like all the other things. How about we make a list for us? Anyway.
But yeah, no, Stephen fucking Merchant was Caspian. Or
yeah,
Caliban,
he was great. I loved
was.
It.
Yeah.
I loved it. Oh, it's so good. Like, the over-the-topness of his whole power set and, like,
yeah,
what happens there. It's just
and
such
just
a...
just, like, how his physicality... with how he interacts with objects and stuff like that. He's just, he's like the whole body language of it's Caliban, right?
Yes, it's Caliban.
Yeah, Caliban is so good. Yep. Like when he pulls out the bullet and shows it to Wolverine and just instinctively he sniffs it because that's what he does,
yes,
you know? He knows exactly what it is. He knows exactly where it came from, but he still does it because that's how he interacts with the world. And
a lot of actors who understand what their characters are, play,
yeah,
their strengths, are written well, all the dialogue, everything serves the narrative. It's just really tight film, really impressed. We really enjoyed it.
That scene.
And to me, it's just a full stop on the whole X-Men thing. I really...
Yeah.
To me, it's just everything had to come before it. I think this is something that another reviewer talked about. It's like everything that came before kind of had to come before it,
yeah,
for this film to exist.
And like I said, like if it didn't, this wouldn't have meant as much to me as it does.
Yeah.
Like I want to completely confess that like my biases about needing a good Wolverine movie like this, like wanting this for Hugh Jackman, who I think is an actor who Hollywood has very much underutilized. It's very satisfying to see a conclusion like this, because I doubt he's coming back, you know, because theoretically, oh, look, we did one set in 2020 before Wolverine, before Logan all happened. It could theoretically happen. I really hope it doesn't.
Are you saying, Hollywood, please have some class?
Yeah, please have some fucking class, Hollywood, and just let Hugh Jackman's, like, beautiful swan song just carry out into the ether, just leave it alone.
That's what this movie is. It is a beautiful swan song.
Let him be. Let him go, let go him calmly into that good night.
Let him be. Logan, 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Logan, seriously, it's just really fucking good.
Okay, half an hour of Logan talk. Do you feel good?
Yeah, I do. I feel really fucking good about doing that. I needed to get that off my chest.